I'm gonna state to you some facts, and most of these facts are going to be familiar to you if you were there Sunday night at Family Fun Night. There are over 50 trillion with a T cells in the adult human. It says how many new white blood cells are made every day? Guess what? 10 billion new white blood cells every day. How fast can nerve impulses travel? Up to 250 miles per hour. How many brain cells can one brain cell communicate with? 25,000. I didn't even think I had that many brain cells. Sometimes it seems a whole lot less, believe me. How many taste buds are there in your tongue? Over 10,000. 10,000. How many odors can the sense of smell detect? Between 2 and 4,000 odors. Some might just soon not smell, but. How many different tones can you detect? 1,500. How many miles? Now, this is something. How many miles of blood vessels does the human body have? 93,000 miles of blood vessels in each body. Wow. How many gallons of blood does the heart pump a day? 3,600 gallons. You know, if you think about it, our human bodies are pretty amazing. Tonight we're going to be looking a little bit at how big is God. How big is God? And we're going to be looking at the creation account. So if you have your Bibles, open to Genesis chapter 1. And you realize that we could preach a sermon on probably, we could probably preach 100 sermons on Genesis chapter 1. So that's not the point. There's a lot of things that could be brought up. But under the subject of how big is God, we're going to be looking at that tonight. And I think sometimes in reality, we wouldn't say this, but in the way we live our life, we underestimate the size or the bigness, I'm going to make a word there, the bigness of our God. And we treat him like, I'm really not sure if you can do that. I really don't think I have the faith to see you do that. And really, I think we need to be reminded sometimes of how big our God is. If you'd follow along, we're going to read a fair amount of verses tonight. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read the whole chapter of Genesis 1. And then I'm not going to comment on a whole lot, but we will a little bit as we go through our points of the message. And then we're going to jump to chapter 2 and verse 7, and then to 18 to 25. So I'll let you know when we're jumping verses, okay? But first of all, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6, and God said, notice that, and God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the he seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl that is after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now drop down to verse 7 of chapter 2. Verse 7 of chapter 2. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now drop down to verse 18 of chapter 2. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, would you say to the Lord, Lord, would you please speak to my heart tonight through the message? In prayer from your heart silently, would you say, Lord, please speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. people said, amen. How big is God? Now, I know I read a fair amount of scriptures, but point number one tonight, if you're taking notes, God is big enough to make something out of nothing. God is big enough to make something out of nothing. You know what you call that? That's called creating. That's called creation. And as I've heard it said many times, if you get the start of this world right, that foundation that God created everything out of nothing in six literal days, you'll have a pretty good foundation for life. Because if you get that all messed up and you start saying, well, we evolved and this happened and this big bang and all this malarkey, you're basically going to have an awful shaky foundation to build your life upon. But if you, from the very beginning, get in that first verse even, first verse of chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God. I mean, that says a lot in itself. In the beginning, God. God was from the very beginning of time. God was there, and even beyond that. But as it starts here, this creation account, it says that he created the heaven and the earth. As I've said before, we can manipulate things that God has created, but we cannot create anything. God created, or in other words, made something out of nothing. And he's big enough to make something out of nothing. That's how big our God is. It says, verse 2, if you really think there was something there, there wasn't nothing there. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. So basically, it was without form, it was void, it was dark, it was nothing there. And God said, boom shakalaka, and it was there. Eight times, as we looked at this passage, eight times God said in his creative voice, boom, make this, make this, make this. He didn't even have to do anything to create it. He spoke it into existence. I don't know about you, but that sounds like one big God to me. God is big enough to make something out of nothing or to create. Point number two. And you're amazed, there's only 3 points. Of course, the third point is what I'm going to spend more of my time, okay? Just so you'll know. Point number two, God is big enough to make all that we see around us. God is big enough to make all that we see around us. And I might say in six literal days. I really wonder about someone who doubts that they were actual days. A day is a day is a day is a day, and it says a day, okay? So in 24-hour periods, six of them, God made all that is. A good friend of mine who's a civil engineer, he's really been putting a lot of thought into this, you know, because he works for the highway department over ODOT, Ohio Department of Transportation. And, you know, they get into these projects and they try to move earth here or there. And he's like, you know what? You know how long it takes man to move that earth? I remember Route 19 that goes from basically down around Sutton. It goes from there off of 79 over to 77 there around Beckley. That 19. See, I used to travel that a lot going to Morgantown when I was at school in Morgantown and different times in our life. And it was too late. So they decided... Brilliant. Why didn't you do it in the first place? It was recommended, but somebody poo-pooed it. Why didn't you just make it 4-lane to start with? So they went back and made it 4-lane. And at the time, I remember them saying it was the biggest earth-moving project in the world, I believe, in the world, because they were making 4-lane out of it. Do you know how long it took them? I don't have an exact date to say it took. But God, he made the earth and everything that is in six literal days. He just spoke it into existence and boom, it's there. You know, God is a big God. In day one, he created light. He called day darkness. He called night. Day two, he separated the waters from the waters and made the heaven. Day three, he made the land and the seas and the vegetation upon the land. In day four, he made the sun and the moon and the stars. Day five, he made the sea creatures. And day six, animals on the earth. And in addition to that, he made man. 6 literal days. There's no gap in here. There's no there's no mystical, well, that's not 24 hours. That's really, each one represents 1,000 years. Where are you getting that at anyway? When God says, I made it in 6 days, he means I made it in 6 days. And then after that, I might mention that he took a day of rest, not because he was tired, but to set a precedent for us. And I'd say that's probably the most violated principle in Scripture that most Christians do. You're supposed to have 1 day rest every 7 days. Really, you are. If it can't be Sunday, which my day can't be Sunday, I think we'd find out we have a whole lot less health problems and emotional problems and all that if we followed God's plan of resting, which, by the way, was pre-law. You say, well, under the law, this was pre-law, right? So it applies to us still. I really believe that. Most violated principle probably in Scripture. How big is God? First of all, God is big enough to make something out of nothing. In other words, create. Second, God is big enough to make all that we see around us in 6 literal days. Y'all smile at me just a little bit? It's good news. I'm not preaching on sin. I'm preaching on goodness of God and how big he is, okay? So smile at me. Now, you can frown when I'm preaching on sin, but don't frown when I'm preaching about how big God is. Number three, and we're going to park here just a little bit. Third point, last point, God is big enough to make man. God is big enough to make man. If you look at verse 26, now, really, I don't know how anybody that even hardly looks at the human body at all and the intricacies of the human body and think that we just evolved. We just kind of happened. You know, an explosion really destroys. It doesn't bring together. It destroys. And like I said, the big bang. Like, yeah, okay, it's going to work in reverse and make. No, it's not. I am convinced, I know you've heard me say this before, but I'm convinced that evolution has so many holes in it, it is ridiculous. And they keep looking for that missing link. Guess what? They're never going to find that missing link because there is no missing link, okay? It's falsehood. And the only reason they came up with evolution was because they had to have something to combat the truth of God's word. And some yahoo said, well, let me think about this. Let's come up with the theory of evolution, that we evolved and some big bang and boom, here we are. And we used to be apes and monkeys and we used to be... No, it takes a whole lot more faith to believe that craziness than it does just to believe that God made everything that is in 6 literal days. But God is big enough to make man. Look at verse 26, verse 26 of chapter 1. And God said, let us. Now, I'm sure you probably heard of this if you've been in church very long, but who's the us? That was the Trinity, right? You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were all present. Us. In other words, it was just God the Father. It would say, let me make, it says let us, plural, speaking of the Trinity, make man, what, in our image after our likeness. Now, a lot of people that are kind of new Christians, they misunderstand that. And they say, well, we look physically like God. Well, God is a spirit. Now, I know that Jesus came to this earth in human flesh. I get it. I understand that. But when it says in our image, speaking of the Trinity, and in our likeness, speaking of the Trinity, that we were made in those things, it's speaking of personality. It's speaking of emotion. It's speaking of reason. It's speaking of eternality. See, we were made like God in those areas. We're not God, but we were given those qualities. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, we have a soul, and we're going to probably hit that here in a minute, but we have a soul that distinguishes us from all the animals. Now, I understand this is not going to be real popular to some people, but you see, our little puppy dog that we love and we get attached to, and that's fine to get attached to him, And our little kitty cats and our little hamsters that run on the wheel like this, they don't have souls. They don't have souls. Nowhere in Scripture does it say they have a soul. So they live and then they die. How does man differ? We were created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. We have eternality. We will live forever, either in hell or in heaven. We will live forever. We have eternality because we have a soul. Does that make sense? Okay, how many of you did I make mad when I said that? But Larry raised his hand, but I think he thought he was raising his hand because he agrees with me, I think. Oh, made Larry mad. But seriously, that's the reason. And you know, that's not meaning to be heartless. You know, God knows all about it. He cares when we're sad. And yeah, we get attached to. We had this crazy cat that we told you several times about, JB, John the Baptist. We had John the Baptist because he kept coming around the Baptist church at Middleburg. And kept coming around, he didn't belong to anybody, so we eventually adopted him, and we called him JB for short, because it's kind of hard to, you know, holler out at night, "Hey, John the Baptist, come." They think he's crazy, number one, and it's an awful lot to get out, so we called him JB for short. And when he died, we said that was the best cat ever. And you're sad, and you miss the cat, but JB will not live forever, okay? He doesn't have a soul. I know nobody said amen to that, but okay. Some of you aren't mad, you just don't agree with me. That's okay, but seriously, that's the distinguishing characteristic of a human, or at least one of them, is that we are eternal, that we have a soul. And notice also in verse 26, it says, "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Not only was man created in the image of God and after the likeness of God, man was given dominion over all the earth. And people that want to group man in with animals and say we're nothing more than a higher form of animal, of course, where's that coming from, the theory of evolution? Because we've evolved. No, no, no. We've always been different. We are not animals. Man is not animal, okay? We are a different class. We are a different group. We are human beings, the only thing created in the image of God. Man, on such a solid doctrine, y'all are awful quiet. I mean, we are different. We are different. And I mean, you'll hear the world talk about, well, you know, we're just animals. We're all just, well, if you're animals, maybe that's the reason why you act like an animal. We're not animals. We are made in the image of God. We are human beings. We're different. And then notice, so we're given dominion, which implies intelligence. Also in 28, it talks about dominion. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You see, we are given the authority over the earth. And I don't think we should ever abuse our earth, but there's times that some people say, no, you can't do that. Even though that benefits millions and billions of people around the earth, you can't do that because we're all animals. And we're going to hurt that little tiny slug. Now, I'm not for hurting little slugs, and I'm not for hurting our earth and pollution, but we've been given the stewardship of the earth, and we've been told that we have dominion over the earth. And this earth is going to last as long as God wants it to last. Not 1 second less, not 1 second more, but as long as God wants this earth to last, it's going to last. Some people are so afraid. This is going several directions. I didn't think we were going to go, but this earth, a lot of people are so worried that we're going to run the earth for all the generations to come. Now, I understand the sentiment that it might be good, that we don't want to abuse our earth. If you want someone who's really, really, really one of their pet peeves is littering, it's me. I mean, I hate anyone throwing a little tiny piece of paper down. That really bothers me. I'm like, find a trash can. And you're driving down the road and somebody in front of you throws out a can or something. I'm like, I want to be like Barney Fife and pull them over. I mean, seriously, so I'm not talking about abusing the earth, littering in the earth, or unnecessarily doing things to the earth to hurt the earth, but this earth is going to, we don't have to sit in fear and say, oh, I hope God keeps this earth going. Oh, we don't have to worry about it. God's got it under control. What are we talking about? God's a big God. If he created it, he can sure maintain it, right? But God is big enough, point number three, to big enough to make man. In verse 27, might as well just hit all the controversial issues we can today. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. It says it again, the image of God. That's twice in two verses. It says in the image of God, and then it says in his own image, in the image of God. Actually, three times in two verses. Created he him. Now here it is, male and female created he them. Male and female created he them. When President Trump said, you know, there's only going to be two. The way I understand it, as far as the U.S. government is concerned, there's only you're either male or female. Amen. How many of you about fell out of your seat when he said that? I mean, that's good. That's good. I mean, that's agreeing with the Bible. Now, if he just come up with it on his own, he'd say, maybe that's good. But it's God's word. It says male or female. Some of that's just, I don't know, plumb stupidity. I know it comes from the sinfulness of man, but these people identify as all these different things. I mean, my goodness, yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. Well, all kind of weird stuff. But God, now isn't it amazing how God messes up a whole lot of our ways of thinking? Because God is clear and God is certain. And this, I mean, this is not written such that you and I can't understand it. It says from the very beginning, God made male and female. And then he gave us, as humans, from a big God, the ability to reproduce. It says in verse 28, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. There it is. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So if you kill that deer and eat that meat, you're given authority to do that. You catch that fish and get the scales off and eat that fish, fillet that fish, pretty good stuff. You've been given the authority to do that. You're not abusing creation. You're just using it as one who has dominion over the earth and over the fish and the animals and all that. He's also, in verse 29, given us the ability to eat and to be sustained. Notice what it says in verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. Amen. So, we can eat. We've been given the ability to use the trees and things. At this point, I do not believe that they were eating animals yet. I think that happened after the fall of man. Some would say, I believe, after even the flood, but I think it was after the fall of man, most likely, that we were given the ability to eat the meat. But God gave man, because he's a big God, the ability to eat and be sustained. I mean, if we don't eat food, we get kind of weak, right? I tell Amy sometimes when I'm eating something I shouldn't, I'm just like a little baby, I'm hungry. In verse 30, he gives the food to the animals, it says, and to every beast of the field, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. So it appears that animals did not eat animals at this point either. But notice the commentary that God gives it all. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Would you expect any less from a big God? Very good. And then you go down to verse 7 of chapter 2. Now, it's already said that God created male and female. Then it backs up in chapter 2 and tells us specifically how he did it. We're almost done. Tells us specifically how he did it. It says in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I don't know what happened exactly, but it was this pretty little bird that was on the concrete there near Joe's house, dead. You know, just dead. He must have hit a wall or hit a window or something. Who knows? Froze to death in this weather. I don't know. But you know what? I couldn't pick that bird and just breathe into its little beak and, hey, look at that bird's living again. Because I'm not God. God has the breath of life, and he breathed the breath of life into us humans. It says he took the dust of the ground and made man. I don't think I'll ever remember. I was at a funeral one time, and I'm going to put this in parentheses. This preacher was up there and describing that some people, and he had a very good voice, a lot better voice than I got, but he was up there saying, and some people believe that God formed a mud man and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became, and he was making the point that some people are just so intellectual that that's very inadequate. And I'm like, I'm going, huh? That's not inadequate. God did it. You know what I mean? He was definitely educated, but in that area, he did not have it right. It says, God made man out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Only God can do that. You see, God is a big God. And we became a living soul. And then you get down to verse 18 to 25, in particular verses 21 and 22. You know, Adam noticed something was missing here. He was naming all the animals, and there was a male giraffe and a female giraffe, and there was a male cow and a female cow, and there was a, you know, rabbit, and like, And he didn't have a helper suitable for him. There was not found a helpmeet for him. Verse 20. Verse 21, and God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into the man, unto the man, that is. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Some people jokingly say, whoa, man! You know, it's kind of like, whoa, yeah, God, you did good. But from the rib of a man, woman was made to be a helper suitable for the man, perfectly fitted to the man, for the man to serve and to help and to encourage. And even after the fall, that part never ended. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about following the leadership of the husband. Now, at this point, I do believe before the fall, someone asked me this question at some point. I can't remember who it was. I don't know if here at church or where it was, but someone asked me. It seems like before the fall that there was no family hierarchy. Oh, I did this on Sunday school, that Sunday school that I taught, a combined class, I think. And there was no hierarchy here. There was no hierarchy at this point. But, you know, you notice that the woman was created to be a helper from the very beginning. And then after the fall, you know, she was to be subject to her husband. And in Ephesians, in the New Testament, says the husband is to lead the wife. And the wife is to support and encourage. And we get that all mixed up, too. I might as well go into another hornet's nest. We get that messed up a lot, too. True, men do not love their wives the way they should. But also true, many women don't support their husbands the way they should. So there. Yeah. Made half of you mad. I might as well make the other half mad. So how big is God? How big is God? I just wanted to remind you of the story. You say, preacher, I've heard this story many times. Well, good. Praise the Lord. I hope you get it memorized. Because it's so big. It's so important to show how big our God is. And this is probably the start of a series on Wednesday nights, How Big is God? And we'll continue to look at how big God is, because I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of how big God is. How big is God? First of all, we looked at God as big enough to make something out of nothing. That's called creation. And we can't do that, but he can. Second, God is big enough to make all things we see around us in 6 literal days. Can I say tell you that he didn't even need to take 6 days if he didn't want to? I mean, really. I mean, don't say, well, I think he wanted to set the pattern of the 7th day of rest and to delineate the different days. But if he wanted to, God could have said, okay, just make them all, boom, and they're spoken into existence and everything would have happened. Seriously. I mean, because he's not limited by time like that, but he chose to do it. But I'd like to see any of y'all try to do that in 6 days. And lastly, God is big enough to make man. Yeah, I started out with all those, you know, facts or questions and the answers that we even talked about, some of them, most of them, Sunday night. Amazing facts about the body. We're so, I mean, doctors, I used to think doctors had the human body figured out. And I figured out pretty much they're guessing. I mean, they know so little compared, and it's not really their fault. I mean, these are intelligent people for the most part. For the most part. These are intelligent people, but they know so little because they're human. And God said, I made it. He's a big God. So if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, how big is God? How big is God? Is God, let me ask you a series of questions, all right? Just listen real close. Is God big enough to keep you saved? It's a good thing. I don't always feel saved. You know what I mean? Feelings. Is God big enough to keep you saved? Second question, is God big enough? Just think about it. Don't answer out loud, but just think about it. Is God big enough to look after you? Is God big enough to look after you? Third question, is God big enough to turn bad things in life into something good? Is God big enough to turn bad things in life into something good? I'll tell you this. I heard something today that really kind of upset me a bit. Until I was prepared in this lesson, and I'm like, it just kind of hit me. Well, God's big enough to fix it. God is big enough. You know, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You know what that's saying? Someone who's serious about God and loves God and is trying to do God's will, when bad things happen or things unexpected, God says, oh, that's okay. Even if it wasn't his perfect will, if they didn't have something to do with it and someone does something to someone, it's like, well, God says, you know what? I'm a big God and I'm just going to turn it into something good. Is God big enough to turn bad things in life into something good? And the last question for the Christian, is God big enough to carry you through the problems or the storms that you may be going through right now? Is God big enough to carry you through the storm or the problem or the trial or the relationship issue or the financial struggle or the... Is he a big enough God to get you through all that? If we really remember every day and try our best to remember how big God is, life will not seem to be so overwhelming because God is bigger than life. God is bigger than my problem. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Is there something you need to talk to God about tonight? Some problem? You know, God would really like to hear this if you're going through a problem. Would you just tell him that you know he's big enough? He's a big enough God to take care of everything in your life. If you really believe that, would you tell him that? And if you're still struggling with that fact, that reality that God is big enough to take care of everything in life, be honest with God. Say, God, help me to realize that even more fully. Help me to realize that every day. Would you take just a moment and talk to the Lord about that? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, perhaps you're here or perhaps you're listening in tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You're lost. You're unsaved. You're not a Christian. I have a question for you. Is God big enough to save you? Is our God big enough to save you? Can I say a resounding yes to that? It doesn't matter what you've done in your life, how you failed God, what sins you've committed. If you come to the Lord in sincere faith and ask the God of the universe, just call out to him wherever you are and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And tell God, I believe that Jesus was your son that died upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And I claim Jesus as my Savior. If you say that in prayer to the God of the universe from your heart and really mean it, can I tell you that our God is big enough to save you and to forgive you and to give you joy and peace and purpose in life. So I'd encourage you to do that very thing. Dear God, we thank you that you are indeed a big God. And as we start this series and as we go through this series, as far as we know, that's what you intend as a series. Lord, I pray that you'll use this series to remind us that you are a big God. The problem isn't with you, Lord. The problem is normally with us underestimating you or how big you are. Help us, Lord, to realize more and more how big of a God you really are. In Jesus' name we pray.